Hello and welcome to Zion's Finest, a Star Wars Shadowpoint podcast. I am your host today, Matt Richards, and I'm joined by a very special guest, the one and only Jesse Eakin. Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you. This is super exciting for me personally. Some of our longtime listeners know that Zion's Finest started out as an Imperial Assault podcast. And long before we got into the Imperial Assault podcasting game, Jesse, you were part of the duo that was really leading out in that space. And I was a really, really avid listener back in the day. And so super excited to have you here. It seems like things have come full circle.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you listening back then. And yeah, that was the beginning for me. And I've been doing this podcasting thing for 10 years straight, most of it around Star Wars spheres, but a lot of it on various topics. And yeah, all the way back in Imperial Assault, Vader's Finest was one of the first for sure. And really cool to have you guys remember us.
Talk a little bit about who you are and what you're working on now and why people might recognize your voice.
Absolutely. My name is Jesse Eakin, and I am a content creator in this gaming sphere. I've been doing this Star Wars gaming content thing for about 10 years. All sorts of different games. Imperial Assault was the beginning, and I realized that I had a love for this. And now I'm doing a show called Hello There, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast, where podcasts can be found with my dear co-host Amon. And we cover everything Shatterpoint you can imagine and do deep dives on Star Wars lore in the Star Wars universe. And in addition to that, I also have a MCP podcast called Fury's Finest that's going on 5 years of content. And then, yeah, I've done a little bit of content all over the place too, in the way of Star Wars lore and canon in particular, which was really fun. I got to do some podcasts over the years, like the Canon Cantina, and got to cover Star Wars canon content and take it all the way to Star Wars Celebration and do some podcast stage stuff there, which was frankly amazing. And those people were so wonderful to have us. And so to be doing all this, like you said, full circle is pretty amazing, because I just want to help build the communities up the best I can and also help us all get more enjoyment out of these games we love so much. So me as a competitive gamer, but also as a huge lore fan of Star Wars and Marvel in particular, try to connect all those dots and have as much fun as possible while we're playing these games, and hopefully bring that to the listener every week.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I think we talk a lot as competitive players or as aspiring competitive players. Sometimes it's easy to get lost and to forget some of the lore or some of the flavor or theme that is really fun about these games. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is the theme that keeps us coming back. I remember after Imperial Assault died, you know, our local community all kind of looked at each other and were like, where are we going to go? We didn't have any particular game that was speaking to us. We splintered a little bit, but we remained friends. We played a lot of board games. We found a lot of ways to fill the gap. And then when Shatterpoint was announced, we were like, okay, well, that's it. You know, it was as simple as it's a Star Wars miniatures game. We're here. We're for it. We're going to jump in with both feet. I really, really love that you've sort of embraced both sides of that, enjoying the Star Wars part of our Star Wars game, which is a really important piece.
No, it absolutely is. And I also think Shatterpoint is a unique game in its own right. And you guys have covered really well in this show. And hopefully we have as well on Hello There, where I think it's truly one of a kind miniatures game experience. So to get these one of a kind of gameplay elements mixed with your love of Star Wars, which I think they absolutely nail in the game, it's a dream come true.
Well, the two of us, I think, are gathered here for this episode. It's something we've been planning for a while. And I think you and I are both kind of the lone stalwart Galactic Republic playing holdouts in our respective meta communities. But we wanted to do kind of a deep dive with Republic, really talk about the faction in depth, explore it. And I want to have a couple different parts for this. So the hope for this episode is that, one, if you're a new player, if you're somebody who's looking into diving into Shatterpoint and you're excited about Republic, or if you're an existing player who's explored some other stuff but has not really dipped their toe into Republic and is interested, we want to provide some guidance. Why might you want to play Republic? But we also want to talk about it in terms of the competitive meta, how it sits. There are a lot of things changing right now. We've just had a whole bunch of new releases. We have a whole bunch more. And so there are a lot of things that are really unknown, and some of the matchup stuff that we talk about is going to be fairly tentative. However, it does seem like the first kind of big arc for Republic in terms of wave of units has ended. I do expect to get more in the future, but for now, it does seem like we're going to sit with this as the faction for a while. And so we want to talk about what's there. So my first question for you, Jesse, is why Galactic Republic? What got you started playing them? Why do you like playing them?
I think the first and simple answer is Jedi Knights and Jedi Masters, right? And a lot of these, lack of a better term, light side characters in the Clone Wars era can draw you to this faction, absolutely. And, you know, and that's my leaning for it, but I know a lot of other people even have the other leaning, which is people really love the clones, and they maybe don't care for the Jedi as much, but they absolutely adore the clones. And it's also the clone faction as well. So initially, just from a lore standpoint, the Jedi and clones are kind of basically be in every Republic premier list in some fashion, I presume, between now and forever. We'll see if that changes, but I think if those are two things to get you in, that's a good place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for me, getting in, I mean, I always like to play the good guys. I mean, you could argue in the prequels as to whether anybody is the good guys, but I think that for me, that being able to play the Jedi was a big draw, and I'm not the biggest prequel fan in the world, but I want to play the good guys. I want to play the Jedi, because like, if you're playing Star Wars but you're not playing the Jedi, I'm not sure what you're doing. But further, I think the other thing that really drew me to them is my favorite list from Imperial Assault was we called the Han Rangers. And it was this very kind of slippery, positioned, ranged pressure kind of a list.
Right.
And I saw a lot of those themes in Rex, in the clones, and I was pretty excited to try to figure that out. And so that's really what pulled me in. But let's talk a little bit about faction on the table. What are some of the themes? What are some of the strengths that this faction brings together? What's your best pitch for why somebody should play the Republic?
Well, absolutely. Shatterpoint is a game of positioning and winning through positioning. And I would say Republic, for better or for worse, is all about positioning. And I say for better or for worse through the lens of you've got to play it right, right? But once you nail that positioning with them, it's very rewarding because it's built around the synergies within each other. Well, this unit has a positive here, but a negative here, and this unit has a negative and a positive here, but they all round each other out in a castling sort of way. And that is a lot of the Republic is, you know, it's odd because they don't have a ton of diceless displacement. You would say it is some sort of synergistic, you know, quasi-control, condition-based group, right? This is all about positioning. And, you know, that's really hard to describe if you don't know Shatterpoint, but if you start to know Shatterpoint, it starts making more sense. And I think there's a lot of appeal in that to the Republic is stronger as a unit as a whole. It's there are some of all the parts. They're not just a bunch of good stuff things thrown together and you just go to town. They are finesse with the squad as a whole because they all play off of each other.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. To draw like a really obvious comparison with their most prominent opposing faction, both in the story and in the game, and the Separatists, you know, I think the Separatists are really oriented around this idea that the supports are, I mean, in theory anyway, they're not as capable of accomplishing that much on their own, but they need to get bossed around by their leaders and put into position to do the things that they need to do. But when they do that, they kind of get empowered and their supports are a little bit more expendable. Whereas in the Republic, it's very much everybody is working together to elevate each other. And
yes,
you have to have all of that teamwork really lined up in order to kind of squeeze out the extra value compared to some more generically good units that are just going to consistently do a good thing all the time.
For sure. So in a way, it's a puzzle. It's a mountain to climb. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive way. I mean, there's a lot of finesse and, you know, you can absolutely win whole events with the Republic, and people have done it and people have done well with it. And a big reason why that is because they've worked on the puzzle and they've worked on the finesse that is involved in playing, I would say, the toughest faction to play in the game so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. And for me, I think that's been a big part of the appeal as well, is that especially in the early days where Republic was just very clearly not as strong as some of the other ways to play the game, partially because of unit strength, but also partially because just the player skill was not there yet. Cracking that puzzle has been a fascination for me that has continued.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's talk about strengths specifically.
Yep.
And this could be pretty broad. I think we can talk about, we can do specific unit call up. We can talk about their general faction synergies. Anything that you would qualify as a unique strength that the Republic brings to the table.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we've alluded to a lot of these, so let's just dig into them a little bit deeper. So we talked about positioning, and we talked about how they're all pieces of a greater puzzle. An example, a quick example of that, Commander Rex is a great unit. He's a great unit in the game by himself. agnostically. But the second you put him in an all Republic list, and I mean all Republic, his efficacy just massively goes up, because not only does he get more triggers of I'm always first kid, you know, you're getting coordinated fire synergy on both sides of the table, but also, you know, his tactic is giving you free reign of what's my best move right now with Rex's tactic, right? Is it just for Rex, or is it like the greater Republic narrative here of moving units on the table, and do I need to get some, you know, some heals off with Rex's hunkers? So that's just one small example. And I give that example because I think Rex is probably going to come up a lot today. He's probably one of the strongest single pieces in Republic, and he's totally fine without them. But he's a great piece of this puzzle that they absolutely need, where this stronger together concept we're talking about, where force multiplying is really important with Republic. And in a weird way, it forces you to double down on Republic tags and Republic playstyles, even if some of the characters might be quote unquote weaker overall. The sum is greater than all the parts, like we keep talking about.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. I think from a game design perspective, you want to create a specific context in which taking a unit in your list is the right choice, but other context for taking somebody else is correct. It's good to have some generically good, like, hey, this is just a unit that will perform well always by himself. But the Republic, I think the secondaries especially, there are a lot of very good units, and you kind of want to take them all, and you have to pick very carefully. But none of them really want to see play. Like, they don't get splashed a lot. There are a couple of instances where you might argue for that. But I think for the most part, they really want their team around them in order to feel like they are on the same level as what some other units are bringing to the table.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought up the secondaries, Matt, because the secondaries are also like the star of the show in Republic in a lot of ways. I know that Jedi primaries are really the star, we say, but the secondaries are what make everything tick. The secondaries are what make everything actually work as a whole. So some of these primaries go do their own solo thing, you know, and they totally excel at it. But, you know, Anakin leaves Rex behind, but Rex stays back and the rest of the team is still moving forward, just like in the lore, but also just like in the game. It's how you win Shatterpoint, is by swinging more points over your opponent, right? And so the secondaries actually actively help you win Shatterpoint by the point scoring part in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other big strength for Republic that I would like to call out is that I think that they are really well equipped to play the long game. And I think this is something that it also took time for us to see manifest, because that first mission objective in the game, shifting priorities, places so much emphasis on you got to win the first struggle.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's a really tough situation. But part of what we have seen is that the combination of a lot of really strong ranged attacks, the way that coordinated fire sort of stacks value over time, the more you can trigger it, the various defensive capabilities that different units bring either to themselves or to your team, all of those things together create a situation where if you are playing carefully, you can really extend a damage advantage or a positioning advantage, not just to win the current struggle, but you just have more active pieces on the board running into the third struggle where you need to close things out. Whereas as you compare to some other factions or some other units that are really heavily emphasizing, like, I want to get ahead early and then roll that out. It's kind of that classic aggro versus value or tempo versus value dynamic that we see at play in a lot of games. And the downside, of course, is that you have to do it carefully, because if you misposition, that value engine can become very fragile and suddenly you have to pay force for your coordinated fire and things get messy really fast.
No, absolutely. And maybe this is hinting at that little topic we touched on earlier, which is like Republic in short form, explain people, is, you know, has some quasi-control elements. And it's less about direct control and more about burning the opponent down as the game goes on. And this is what true attrition is, right? Aggression is different from attrition, and Republic's more attrition. And as you alluded to, Matt, I think there's a lot of play in the Republic too of outpositioning your opponent while we're later in the game, where you've stacked up a certain amount of conditions against them that are also slowing them down. But like you said, it is a tightrope to walk because of how punished Republic is as their units get wounded and injured as the game goes on.
There's that famous clip from The Simpsons of a Sideshow Bob who's just repeatedly stepping into rakes. And so that's the metaphor I've used a lot. You just kind of have to step on the rakes.
For sure.
You have to make the mistakes and get punished by them and then figure out, okay, how do I deal with that problem? And contest your patience for sure. And I think one of the things in Shatterpoint specifically is, especially on shifting priorities, there's this really strong incentive to want to move your units forward and say, go stand in the midline, flip objectives. One of the big weaknesses that we do see in Republic is that for the most part, their support units, which tend to be the best at just being bodies to stand on objectives, are defensively weaker than your average baseline support in the game. And that can set you up for some really bad situations, especially first act. Yeah, I'm going to move my clone troopers out and they're going to stand on two different objectives. And then, Vader's going to stroll up and one-shot them. And then suddenly you're in a really bad spot. Your units are more specialized and you're really required to understand what role they're playing in your list and how to leverage them in that role. And also when tactically it's necessary to sort of say, like, you know what, sometimes you do just need a body. And it doesn't matter whose body it is, it's a sacrifice you have to make.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you also got to be content too, if you are holding back the bodies and you are kind of playing back, that maybe you're content not winning struggle one, as Matt alluded to earlier, and you're just content on bringing that home with struggles two and three. Completely valid strategy, but you have to have that plan in place because it is a very calculated plan.
Absolutely. What are some other weaknesses that you see with Republic?
So I think one of the biggest weaknesses for Republic is if you get caught out early, like we've been talking about, as the game goes on, your force economy efficacy does dramatically get difficult. And I would say this is even harder with any Republic list that is six force. I mean, it sounds like we're saying something very obvious, but it's one of these things where it is a full force multiplier. And, a Mace list or a Vader list or an Anakin list. Anglis is a whole nother conversation, but those seven force lists, you have a little bit more grace period as the game goes on. But let's say you play Obi-Wan Plo, which is a list we're going to talk about later. Very good list, but it only has six force. And you have to know that going in, and you have to know that, especially struggles two and three, where you just can't pay for certain things and you just can't do it. So you've got to be okay with that, or you've got to have a plan if things go awry. So I would say the force economy management is one of the toughest things in Republic.
I'm a very casual player of Marvel Crisis Protocol. For people that are familiar with that game, I would maybe draw a comparison to the Web Warriors faction.
For sure.
Where you have a lot of really great ways to spend your resources and not a lot of great ways to generate that resource. Often there's just this very skill testing element where you're saying, I have six force, I would like to spend 9 or 10, and I have to make very careful decisions to plan how I'm going to spend that six force throughout. I do not think that the economy is as much of an issue for them as has often been said. It just requires some skill to navigate carefully. Often, especially early, paying for that defensive maneuver, you really have to value, is the mobility and the hunker token worth more than what I might use this for later on? And that's a tough thing to do unless you just put the reps in.
Absolutely. No, there's many layers to it, of course, and a lot of it's the matchup too. I mean, it's like, what are you fighting against, right? Some of this has changed with Sabotage Showdown, and some of this has changed with the advent of, like I said, kind of guaranteeing you have a Republic primary in your premier list or two that bring four force, right? And, whether or not you're playing Premier or not, I think it's still a conversation for the regular format as well. So that is definitely a weakness, but it's something you can work on, as Matt alluded to. And I also think another weakness of the faction, ironically, that one of the things we talked about as a strength earlier, the reliance on the primaries and the secondaries to always make things happen. Because when it's a dice game, things don't always happen. And I think a great example of this, a character I've played a ton of, and I think I've talked about for a long time, is Mace Windu. And sometimes things just do not happen on Mace's turn. And that is a huge hit, not only because he is a playmaker when he gets going, but he also limits your roster building in a lot of ways. And, the dreaded pawn tax, as we call it, below there. But also, you're so narrow in what you can bring with Mace already, you just want him to do things. And so I think sometimes people get in the trap of the Jedi always have to do something, right? They always have to get a wound or something. And that would be ideal, but that's not always going to be the case, right? So the irony is, I think a lot of the Republic's game balance is built into the primaries and secondaries. So when the primaries and secondaries don't perform in a particular play pattern you want them to, you might be in a tough spot, and maybe you shouldn't have made that play.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that gets amplified by the fact that kind of uniquely in the game, like the Jedi don't have range attacks.
Absolutely.
Most units well in the said. Game have a form of a range attack. The Jedi just don't. And I know that like there's a thematic thing there, but like being limited to those melee attacks means that like your positioning matters a lot. How you leverage your out of activation positioning tools matters a lot. And also what it means is that sometimes you do have to just accept that like you sometimes just have to look at a Republic primary and say, you know what? Sometimes their job is to just move to an objective and stand there and not attack and just say, try to do something about this, because they are actually quite good on defense. But if you overcommit and say, like, I'm going to bank on making sure that I get the shove or that I get the wound here, you know, the dice can let you down, like you said.
Absolutely. No, I think the melee is a great shout out because it is a massive restriction in Republic at the moment. That's just starting to change with the addition of Hunter, but
yeah,
and obviously Padme prior to that. But the irony of that is those characters have drawbacks in other ways, right? I mean, maybe
exactly
Padme, especially yep. the defensive nature is so much less than the Jedi. So there's layers to it for sure.
Absolutely. I want to touch briefly on mission objectives as well, because it's been part of the conversation already. So currently there's two objective sets in the game. We've got Shifting Priorities, which is the base core set one, and Sabotage Showdown. We've also seen some leaked information about Never Tell Me the Odds, which I would like to speculate about, even if we don't necessarily
know. Sure.
We haven't even seen all the cards, but what do you think in terms of Shifting Priorities? How does Republic feel on that objective set?
So I think Republic as a whole was weaker on Shifting Priorities as a nebulous thing. The irony with that is there are some characters in the Republic. I know people have gone back and forth on this a lot, but Mace, for instance, I mean, pretty good on Shifting Priorities. But I think overall, the Republic prefers Sabotage Showdown by the nature of the amount of points on the board, the nature of they can get in that deadlock of you score three, I score three, and I start whittling you down. Which is what I want to do with Republic. I start conditioning you down.
Exactly.
And so I think the shape paired with the scoring, paired with also the less punishing nature of losing struggle one, I think they favor Sabotage Showdown as a whole. But I definitely think they can play on Shifting Priorities. And of course, I did forever. So
yeah, it was the only option.
So it's an interesting conversation. And I think with the new objective set as well, there's some shapes on there that look very interesting for Republic, but I'm curious to see on that as well, for sure.
I definitely agree. I think one of the things that can be a little bit counterintuitive is you look at the active objectives in Struggle 1, and you say Sabotage is 6 active,
right.
Shifting Priorities has 5, and so you would expect Sabotage to be the faster scoring objective, but because you have 2 backline objectives that are relatively hard to get to in the first struggle, that actually serves to slow scoring down, and it tends to make that first struggle play a little bit more grindy, which is exactly what a lot of Republic lists want. I think there will be kind of a similar impact on Never Tell Me the Odds, because that's a 5 active objective split with 2 backline objectives and 1 midline. One of the places where Republic can really excel from their positioning is really focusing all of their power towards a like controllable area of the map. That said, they don't necessarily have the mobility that some of the other newer units do. That objective is very clearly designed for the rebels and the bounty hunters to really make things happen there. And so it'll be interesting to see how those matchups pan out. But I kind of think it's going to be an objective set that more grindy attrition style lists are happy to play, as well as kind of like scoring shenanigans lists are going to be happy to play. Whereas, like to your point, attrition lists are going to like it. Aggression lists, not so much.
Absolutely. And aggression lists too love Shifting Priorities, for instance, like the Vader Grievous, because they can isolate units, right? They can split your force up and they can take favorable 1v1. So another cool thing about Sabotage, like you mentioned, is that guaranteed parity is what I call it. We're both going to get these back points pretty much no matter what, especially early struggle one. And so that's just going to force that grind to start and actually give you more chance to get through your deck in position as Republic, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get groups together that need to be together. Get your Jedi on the front lines and lots of layers to that. So I find that fascinating. And, you know, we talked about the weakness of the clones, low health, you know, the coordinated fire is actually costing force after they've been wounded. And just kind of like belting in Melee, to be honest. Well, Sabotage Showdown presented new castling situations, like I said, as Republic, new boxings of your list, you know, forming new cages, per se, to safely keep them out of harm's way. And if your opponent does dive all the way into them, which they absolutely can do, well, now it's very easy for your entire force to turn on that character that maybe dove back into your clones on that back line.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I'll call out too, and then I think we can move on, but this is something that I've been testing and enjoying quite a bit with the newest box in the game, the Clone Force 99 and Bad Batch. So Clone Sergeant Hunter has that tactics ability that lets you give a clone trooper a dash, and if they're Bad Batch, they can advance. And Wrecker, with his large base, if you deploy carefully, can use that advance to get into range of a midline objective. And so if you put Hunter and Wrecker in opposite squads, and you get like a first act Hunter, he can move bodies onto both midline objectives in that first act, and that can create a really tough scoring like situation for your opponent, because even if they flip one of those and score three, you're in that spot where on Sabotage, if you really want to be, I have three, I'm competing for four, where as opposed to I have two, I'm competing for three, because that can snowball pretty quickly in terms of how that scoring pans out.
So. Oh, absolutely, man. And I'm glad you brought that up, because not to undermine what things we said earlier about being wary around the midline, but you know, my early experience with Shatterpoint, being an experienced miniature gaming player, was I won a lot of Republic games back to back to back. And a lot of that was the power of these primaries and secondaries being able to move models up to points and score quickly, and always having one or two points up on your opponent. Of course, yeah, as you said, people figured out the game more, that change, you know, that people find ways to respond to that. But I do think it is a strength Republic can turn on a dime to, which is when they're ready, they can overload points with, you know, characters that move multiple models, and they can score out, and hopefully they can survive as they score out. So it is something you can absolutely do, and take an early struggle one as well if you really want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll call out something that Nick said on his interview episode with you guys on Hello There, where he talked about his strategy for the Clone Commandos, who have often been a pretty maligned unit, where he's like, I play them safe, they stand back, and then in struggle three or struggle two, that means that they're healthy and that you have enough mobility that they can go body a point somewhere when it really matters, and that can have a big impact. So much of the faction is understanding when to make those loops, when to make those pivots, and it's a tough thing to figure out. I'm definitely still figuring it out.
It's absolutely fascinating, absolutely, because it is so much, how can I position myself just safe enough, but also just on that like edge enough to take a point coming up, right, that my opponent might not think I'd get to, absolutely, or something. Utilize ingress points, or in Nick's case, utilizing the scale from the Clone Commandos in that instance. So absolutely.
Yeah. One of the other things I've really started to appreciate about Shatterpoint recently is the value of just posing a question and forcing your opponent to respond.
Yep.
I think I got into a bad habit pretty early on with Republic, where I was like, I don't want to get punished. I will just hold back. I will just see points and let them, you know, come forward, and then I'll try to clap back. And what happens in that situation is, you know, especially like Django is a really great example of a unit where it's like, you can't really stop Django from doing what he wants to do. Like, he's going to show up, he's going to ruin your day. And so you might as well force him to do that early so that you can then respond, as opposed to trying to wait him out, because you're just going to bleed points waiting on the threat of that thing to come forward. And I think it's a really tough balance to strike, because your units are not as well-grounded as a lot of other units in the game when you're playing Republic. Well, I know that we're about 6 weeks out from Adepticon, but I think that was kind of our biggest, most recent kind of big event. I know you went and attended, and you played some Republic stuff. Can you talk me through kind of your premier list for Adepticon and how your day went playing the event?
Yeah, absolutely. So, long story short, we dig deeper into that on our Adepticon episode of Hello There, because I did play in every single event of Adepticon, and going all the way to the premier event, I played three Republic primaries in Maul, essentially. So I had Vader, Rex, Arfs, the thing you would expect. And I would say that Rex typically goes with General Kenobi or Vader. And then I had Jedi Master Plo with Padawan Ahsoka, and then Wolfpack. And then I had General Kenobi with Barriss and Clone Commandos. So my Maul list was Maul, Jango, Supermandos.
Tasted.
And I think I played it one time. I probably should have played it more, but I mm-hmm. you know, I was leaning into the Republic thing. I kind of just got it out of the way and then just kept playing. But
right,
it was very good. Yeah, absolutely.
How did you feel about your mashups into other factions in general? And also, what other Republic lists out there did you run into?
Great question. So I think the toughest part about building Republic at a premier super competitive level event is the Obi-Wan question. And this is someone mm-hmm. who's a huge mm-hmm. Obi-Wan fan. He's my favorite character in Star Wars. And the question mm-hmm. is are you going to play Obi-2 or are you going to play General Kenobi? And both are absolutely paramount in the list you want to play them. So mm-hmm. in losing one of them, you lose a play pattern the other way, right? And so case in point, I mean, I had Vader and Maul in my list and I didn't have Obi-2. But I also had General Kenobi and I had Plo and I had Vader. So I also had really mm-hmm. great Republic lists as well. And I also had an incredible answer to Separatists. So in my opinion, because I think General Kenobi is the answer to Separatists in a lot of ways. I think it's kind of understood at this point in the game's life cycle that Jango and Obi-2 are two of the best units in the game, hands down. I also think it's understood that General Kenobi is one of the best Republic primaries and identities in the game, right? So when you go to a premier event like this, if you make a decision like I did to play General Kenobi, you are cutting Obi-2 out of your options per the rules packet. And that's a tough thing to do because Obi-2 is a good answer to a lot of problems and questions in the meta.
Absolutely. Yeah, that mind trick ability creates, it's one of the few ways in Shatterpoint to create really difficult questions for your opponent. Yeah,
absolutely.
In a way that's just hard to deal with.
No, and absolutely.
I'm also a big General Kenobi stan. I love the way that he plays on the table. He is by far my favorite primary. He is by far my most played primaries. I had a really hard time ever wanting to play Obi-2 because I just want to put Obi-Wan in my list. But you're right. It's a tough sell. And I think that the other thing that's tricky about it is that Obi-Wan primary requires you to build around him and pool resources into what he wants to do. Whereas Obi-2 is just kind of an all-purpose, really flexible unit. He does get better if you pair him with, you know, some other units that are going to help with your force refresh.
For sure.
So you can just afford to do that mind trick ability more often. There's a flexibility question as well. I think the other big part of the conversation when you're looking at building your Republic premier list is, what are you going to do with ARF troopers?
Great question. Absolutely.
One of the things that's a little bit awkward about Republic supports in general is that they have 2-3 cost supports. They have the 501st, who are probably the worst support in the game. Unquestioned, just flat the worst support in the game. And the ARFs, who are the other 3 cost unit, are generally considered, and I think pretty safely, the best clone trooper support in the game.
Yes.
And hit pretty high on tier lists. And that means that it's really difficult to play more than one primary that has less than 8 cost. And if you do run a 7 or 6 cost primary, then that limits your ability to splash ARFs under 8 cost primaries that may also want them. And so it's a really tough decision.
No, absolutely, perfectly well said. I'm glad we're getting all the nitty gritty of this because there's so many layers to this. Are you building Republic at a premier level? And for me, the ARFs were locked with Vader. If you're playing Anakin, you're playing Mace. It's just locked with them, right? So in a weird way, if you want to play Anakin, you want to play Mace, you want to play Vader, you're negating ARFs in every other category. So Mace, it's literally your only option at the moment. So
You can run 501st with Mace, but I mean, the pawns tax is bad enough. You don't want a 501st tax on top of that.
Absolutely. So, and if you're doing that with Mace, you're still only doing that because you're playing Mace with Vader or Anakin, right? Like you're taking the tax to get a force multiplier of more of Mace and or one version of Anakin Skywalker on the table, right? So I completely think that's a valid list. And to answer your question earlier, Matt, I played 0 Republic players in the Premier Showdown Swiss, unfortunately.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of
wild.
Dark side. A lot of dark side out there, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, AMG villain bias is a strong for sure. looking more broadly in terms of lists that we've seen that have had success at events, there was Nature with a Tabletop Simulator League running a Vader Lumi list. Right. I just recommend that go listen to the Hello There episode where Nick talks about that because it's great. He runs Django and OB2 as the secondaries and issuing all the Republic secondaries, which it's hard to argue with, even though it hurts my soul. Yeah. I know that Plo has been a very highly regarded primary Vader Plo, very popular. That list itself is kind of interesting because you're a lot more aggressive. You have a lot more offensive potential, but you weaken what you can do defensively. I've really liked Vader Kenobi. It mixes aggression with attrition in a way that really allows you to play high wound successful games. And then the list that I have been playing a lot recently and really liking is a Kenobi Plo. The full list there is you do Kenobi Rex Arfs and then Plo Barriss Handmaidens. And you just play this really defensive, really displacement-oriented game. It's really kind of designed to look at like Dooku Talzin and say, okay, I'm just not going to wound you, so what are you going to do? And I think it has game into a lot of different things. But again, it's a very finesse-oriented list, and I have really struggled to pilot it.
That's an awesome list. Yeah, I have not played quite that version with Barriss. You guys know I've been talking about Barriss since her inception. I think she's phenomenal out there with Vader and other variations of the Republic lists. And even, you know, sneaker in maybe some Empire Inquisitor lists, and it's a theme win there as well. But I think that's like also just the hard Separatist counter list as well. Is that Kenobi, Plo, you know, Rex Arfs on one of the squads, and then some sort of either Handmaiden or Wolfpack, which I think fulfill a similar role, which is very much like being defensive, holding areas of the map, getting Plo's identity and his tactic really working fully. So I completely support that. I think that's an awesome list you should continue to work on because it's very rewarding.
Yeah, it's very fun. And my biggest criticism of Barriss has been that she can feel kind of fragile. And there's just kind of the force economy problem. Force push is great. Force speed is also great. But do you really want to spend half your force budget on a single secondary activation? The answer to that is sometimes. What I have found in this particular configuration is that, like, one, Plo's tactics dash really helps with getting Barriss into a place where during his activation, Plo can benefit from her bonus dice. And he's a little bit more likely to hit the free force push, you know, or just kind of have a stronger attack generally. I also think that the other piece of that that's really valuable is Handmaidens giving her intercede, giving some of that durability. One of the problems with her too, especially under Vader, is that she can just kind of melt. She only has 8 health. Her defensive tech is okay, but not amazing. If she's taking damage to herself in order to get extra dice, then she's very vulnerable to getting attacked. But if she's got hunker tokens, if she's got Handmaidens there, if she's got Plo standing nearby, suddenly she's a lot more likely to survive a single attack, and that is kind of enough. And so one of the things I love is that you can build different lists with different game plans like this, whereas even the same squad, it's the same base units, you throw a Vader in there, you've got a very aggressive kind of a list, you throw something else in there, it's much more defensive, and you just have a lot of really cool options.
Absolutely. The final question I have about that list, Matt, before we move on is, it's going to sound crazy, but have you tried that list, specifically that squad, Plo, Barriss, Handmaidens, and have you tried 212th in the Handmaiden spot? And I say that because when you have them in that spot, Plo can do 7 damage, 3 spots on his Jimso tree because of the coordinated fire pinned. He's giving pinned right out the gate, right? And also, It's actually this force multiplier with them giving pinned, and then, like, as you said, the Barriss buff per se. And then it's very fun, and it actually works pretty well. And once again, that's doubling down on that Separatist counter, because I think the 212th are another really slept on Separatist counter because of their coordinated fire pinned is really, really effective against Separatists.
Yeah, that's really interesting. My main struggle with them is that, like, in a support, I really want some combination of, like, mobility or damage or the ability to shove. And the 212th, like, really struggled to get to that second step on their retreat, where they can actually shove during their activation. And it's one of those things, like you said earlier, where if you don't quite, if you make the attack and you don't quite get there,
yeah,
that can just be backbreaking, and that's really disappointing. And so, like, I will have to give that a try for sure. The one last thing that I want to talk about before we talk about matchups specifically is Bad Batch, Clone Force 99. We've only had our hands on it for a couple of weeks. I've been testing them a little bit. They seem pretty good to me. What's been your experience with them? Who do you like pairing with them? And what kind of impact do you see them making on the more competitive side of things?
No, absolutely. Good call out, Matt. I think the addition of Jedi Master Plo and the Bad Batch recently have been huge injections in Republic's power level. The irony is we're getting more tags in the game. We're getting more characters that also have high power levels. And I'm not saying that as a commentary. I'm just saying this is very good for the Republic, but there's also a lot of new things to learn how to play against at the same time. I think Bad Batch is now become probably one of the go-to groupings, specifically Hunter and some friends in your premier squad, right? I think if you're a Republic main, you're just probably grabbing Hunter in some capacity. He works well with everyone, right? I mean, he can really shine with a Vader or Anakin, right? But also, he can really shine with someone like Kenobi, like you said, where it's more of a mid-range, back-and-forth kind of play style, kind of like the Vader Kenobi list in general, but Hunter's kind of in that Vader spot. Wrecker is like the... He's one of the new powerhouse pieces in Republic.
Yeah, right? He's so good.
I think it's a given. So good. I mean, unfortunately, Commander Wolf, like, I think people are still trying to crack their Commander Wolf thing. And what's unfortunate is the second he came out, Wrecker came out as well. And I think there's also a crosshair discussion, which I'll get to shortly. But it is, Wrecker is just a blind take, I think, at this point for Republic lists. And when I mean Republic lists, obviously, he's great with Hunter. I think he's fantastic. But I think we're about to be in this situational space where people are probably just going to play Wrecker in Republic Prime, like Republic Premier list without Hunter, possibly, right? But it's also a force multiplier. Yeah. So Wrecker's a staple, Wrecker and Omega. And then what's interesting is Tech and Echo, Techo, as people have been lovingly calling them, they're very good, but I think they're best with General Kenobi. And so we're in this kind of situational space where, if you're not playing General Kenobi all the time, do they just get sidelined for Wolfpack? Maybe Wolfpack's the initial grab and Techo's the more nuanced scalpel type grab. Like, you know exactly what you want to do with them. So there's layers to it. And then on top of that too, you add the whole entire new layer and what I'm calling a new like sub archetype of just Umi with crosshair. And I think that's a very viable thing. And I think it's been very good to me. And I've been seeing other really prominent players piloting it. And I think it's something that not only is going to be really good in Republic lists, but I also think it's just good in general. Like, so, because crosshair just gets a kill every time he goes and gives you that flow of the force triggers over and over again. So the box as a whole, that's so amazing, because then you add Hunter, who's this completely not really matchup dependent primary, who's very defensive. He can get things done. He's very mobile, and he also can get wounds when he needs to. Which is honestly one of the things the Republic needed the most. They needed an agnostic primary, and he's probably that.
Yeah, just a flexible, good piece. The other thing, like his, so like, I can't say enough good about Hunter. Like, he's a primary that has a ranged attack, which we are just desperate for.
Yes.
His dash plus five die attack is really, really solid and just helps you cheat out a little bit of extra impact there. His defensive tech, where he just gets to reroll up to two failures, is fantastic. He doesn't have a ton of impressive defensive stats, but that reroll is fantastic. And then the identity that just says, like, hey, add a step every time a clone trooper makes an attack is so good. And it does such a great job of elevating what the rest of your list is doing. And it's a little bit more forgiving, so that when you have all of these other positioning-related impact on the table, it's just like, nope, if he's on the table, you get it. And my general philosophy has been like, hey, rather than trying to take the stuff that we feel like is kind of mediocre or middling and trying to say, can we make it playable? Like, there is that option, but there's also the option to say, like, great, ARFs that are consistently hitting three steps instead of two, sign me up. You know, like, there are some really great things there. I talked about the premier list that I have been looking at in a little more detail in a recent episode. It's evolved a little bit since then. I really like the Obi-Plo squad generally. And like really it's what it's letting me do is kind of live the dream of the General Kenobi core premier list, which I've been trying to force to work for a long time, and the pieces just haven't been there. I've really liked running Luminara full Bad Batch and then some other, you know, clone support under her as a independent squad. The current iteration of that I'm looking at is you put Wrecker and Wolfpack under Luminara, because Wolfpack really love to have Wrecker standing on a point that they can move up to and get that protection bubble and get those extra dice and all of that good stuff. And Luminara just plays into the attrition battle. You know, you get a bonus out of activation movement when you wound. You get healing back when you get wounded. And then I've been looking at Wolf over Crosshair just because, I mean, I like Crosshair a lot. He's very good. But also, Wolf giving you that crit modification protection just seems really great, especially if you're trying to attack out of primaries. And it also allows you to do a Hunter, Wolf, Tekko squad that you can then pair with Kenobi, and you've got a little bit more of that full like clone synergy there. The other thing I was brewing today that just seems crazy, and I feel bad about this, but if you cut Lumi for Maul, I think Maul solves a lot of the problems the batch has in terms of you get diceless displacement and you get force economy. And those are kind of the two big things that they lack. And so that's something I want to test out a little bit more as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Maul's fascinating too, because the whole like Bad Batch scoundrel thing too, right? I think it's something people are really explore in the future, and Maul having scoundrel and layers to that for sure. And yeah, I think the entire box is just absolutely amazing. Injection of excitement for Republic. And it's funny that, you know, it's just, it's good problems, but it's like, okay, where does all this fit? Where do we go from here? You know, and like we said, Wolfpack seems to be taking a lot of the limelight after the ARFs at the moment too. So it's like, okay, are we doing Tekko or not? And if we are doing Tekko, what's the fourth clone, you know, in that grouping of, so I think it's fascinating right now. We're in a beautiful spot in the game to learn as Republic players.
Absolutely. Let's talk quickly about just matchups generally in the competitive side of things. We had talked about that sprinkled throughout, but what do you see as good matchups for Republic list? What do you see as bad matchups? And as we've talked about, that can be different depending on which Republic squads you're running in, so we can get into the details there as well.
For sure. So obviously there's a lot of nuance here. I think a good matchup for Republic just out the gate is all droids. And when I say all droids, I really mean all droids. I mean, both droid officers, you know, no Jango. Not saying the Jango is the end all be all of us. I'm just saying like a list that's leaning into all droids. Yeah, they can still take games in Republic, but I think against a good General Kenobi player with another primary that they feel confident with, and they're taking defensive maneuvers at the right time, like Matt alluded to earlier, or they're just quite honestly taking take cover actions all the time, are really good counter into Separatists. So my first answer to that would be Republic's pretty good into Separatists, especially if it's an experienced Republic player and they're playing that long game, like you mentioned, Matt, which is struggle three.
Yeah. I think one of the things that can help that matchup a lot is that all full droids often wants to play shifting priorities.
Yes.
And while that's not your favorite objective, because of the way that first player objective selection works, you kind of get to have it both ways, where if you win the first player role, you get to pick sabotage and say, I'm the first player, I'm on the map that I want. If you lose and they pick shifting priorities, well, you still get to score first. And that allows you a little bit more flexibility to either try and win struggle one on shifting priorities or to lose it more slowly and kind of build up that damage advantage to leverage later.
Very well said. So what's another Republic favored matchup you think, Matt?
I actually really like how Republic matches up into the full Mandos situation. They do have some pretty strong forward pressure, and the Mandos are really strong. They're very mobile. They have a lot of vertical threat. They do a lot of things really well. And if it's the full Mandos, Maul, Lumi thing, Maul's a threat. Lumi is kind of elevating every single activation. But I think that that's a list that really, really orbits around, can they apply enough pressure with the supports in order to either score fast or kind of build up an advantage? And I think Republic is really great at being like, sure, like your super commandos are standing there, we'll plunk a couple range attacks into them, and suddenly they're not doing the same kind of impact in terms of walking down the melee space, where it's hard, a lot harder to shove, or it's a lot harder to jump and move around if you can kind of get the damage advantage first. Like once they get wounded, that force economy gets really tough for them.
Yeah, well said. If they don't score early quickly on you, if you kind of meet parity with them and get in position, good deck draw, yeah, you can just completely lock them out, right? Now, obviously, that list really wins games quickly from time to time. They get good deck draw, and then you're like, yeah, what do absolutely. I do? How do I catch up? Because they're up on the high points, they're scoring them, and Maul's doing what he wants. Yeah. You know, he shatterpointed again, and he went on the other side of the map, but... yeah, there's absolutely qualifiers of it. I think the next layer to that, too, is taking the Separatist idea further. I think Republic's really good into all Ewoks as well.
Yeah. The Ewoks have a very similar game plan. They're kind of a little bit less durable.
Yeah.
They swarm forward. I have not seen Ewoks shine as much as I would like, but I do think there's probably more there from a competitive perspective.
Oh, there certainly is, yeah.
Than has been explored, especially in the lists that are running, like, OV2 as a secondary in Ewoks.
Oh, yeah.
Or that are running like Lando R2. Like there are some very cool things that you can do there. A lot of these things become very terrain dependent, very objective dependent, like a lot of those things. But to your point, I think that Republic uniquely has the ability to project threat over range and say, I can attack you from range and not make my own pieces vulnerable when I want to. And that can be really beneficial against these lists that really want to swarm and stack high. Sometimes you decide, okay, I'm not going to flip the objective, and that hurts, but I'll just lose the struggle quickly, and then kind of leverage the scoring advantage I have in struggle to just continue the damage snowball.
For sure, and Ewoks hate the long game, right? And Republic loves the long game, yeah. So there's that. And then also, too, if you're in the driver's seat when it comes to scoring as Republic, and you're really sticky on points, which Republic is, and you're playing against a list like Republic or droids, all droids, which don't have a lot of diceless displacement, they're more about swarming the board and doing incremental damage. I mean, you just kind of shrug off the damage, weather the storm, score the points, and you're in the driver's seat in that regard. And they can't do a lot about it, especially when you have General Kenobi identity on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. What about bad matchups?
Yeah, so I think aggression lists are pretty good in the Republic. I mean, we've already mentioned Vader Grievous a couple times, and Vader Grievous has cooled off, which has been a good thing, but... touching on that briefly, the reason why that is good is because they can basically say, I want that thing dead over there, and they can make that happen, right?
Yeah.
Mobility and high damage is not good for them. So like Maul, Grievous, Vader in particular, are all problems for Republic because those characters can isolate their secondaries and their supports, more importantly, at any given moment, right? And so it frequently in those matchups puts you in a weird spot where sometimes you'll keep a support who's asleep, as I call it, wounded, in reserve for some time, because you know the second you pull them out, Maul, Grievous, or Vader is just going to double move and get over there and remove them, right? So that is issue number one, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the other squad that can really cause a lot of problems is a squad that's kind of causing problems for everybody, which is the Dooku Jango Magnus. I think that the ability for Magnus to just like... roll 5 damage, 2 shoves, and a reposition is just bonkers. Their ability to stick to points. Jango can get anywhere, do anything he wants. Dooku's force refresh, and also Dooku's ability to just kind of stand there and say, okay, you can't attack me, I think creates some problems. I do think that Republic in some ways is better equipped to deal with them than a lot of lists because of the range damage threat that really mitigates like what Magnus do. That really mitigates Dooku's defensive tech. If you have Wolf on the table, he's actually very good at making your, like, allowing your clone troopers to kind of, like, sure, I'll take a free attack into Dooku, and I'll stack a couple conditions there and make his life a little bit more difficult. But I think that, I mean, that matchup can be really tough because they can just kind of stand on a point and say, you aren't going to remove me. I think that Republic does have tools there. I mean, Paul and Varys both are kind of perfect units that can just say, Varys especially, is a unit that can just say, like, you have a Dooku and Magnus sitting on this objective. Okay, I will walk up. I will push one magna to Kingdom Come. I will force push Dooku away. You don't get to use any of your defensive tech because the time you check for range is after everybody's been slid around the board. And she can kind of actually displace that bubble where a lot of units can't. And so it can be a really tough matchup unless you've really leaned heavily into beating it, which is kind of what the OB play list is trying to do. But it can be really tough if you're playing a more attrition style Republic because, great, you wounded Jango. Now the Magnus are going to walk up and they're going to shove you off the point and you don't get to score it. And now you lost the struggle. And so that can be really tough.
Absolutely. No, the Magna is also really tough for Republic in general because 10 stamina is just, there's clones do not top out on trees at that number. So that is a big element to it. And a lot of, let's be honest, a lot of Republic secondaries is the superstars they are, the support superstars they are, also don't hit that level of damage, right? So the Magna Guards can just tank a lot of stuff. So that's massive. And so another matchup I've been experiencing lately that is a tough matchup for Republic is all Empire tag lists with a Gideon emphasis.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've been playing a lot against Gideon, and I think the number one problem is if you have a bad draw order to begin with, you're already kind of Sisyphus, like pushing the rock up the hill, where it's like you're in this position where you have to do it to get out of this deck situation with Republic and kind of get your engine going. But in doing that, as you said, Matt, earlier, this is kind of like the barest blow situation. You made an active decision to spend half of your force up front or a third of your force up front. Empire is like another, it's hard to call at this point this early, but they're a cool mix of Republic and Separatists, right? And they're, and that's kind of a problem in a way against Republic because you're leaning more into your deck order and you're leaning more into how your dice go. Are they average and or good? Okay. Is my deck order average and or good? Or is my dice average and or good? No, that's a problem because at the end of the day, every time one of the Empire units goes, multiple units are moving. There's a lot of diceless plays. Not that they have high diceless displacement, but they have high mobility. And they also, when their dice hit, it's good for them as well, just like it is for us as Republic players, right? So the fact that they have these force multipliers on top of that is a tough matchup. And, you know, also the Death Trooper, he's evil Rex. Yeah. He's evil Rex. You know, that's what we've been calling him with Hello There community because he's got the Rex tree. And that guy can put on the heat for sure.
For sure. I think that the other thing that's tricky is that Empire kind of has this theme where they say, oh, we can do a lot of cool stuff, but we have to hurt our own people to do it. They get to pick when and where that damage happens. And so those units are statted in such a way that they can absorb those hits. If you look at the base like defensive stats for the supports, for the secondaries, they get like an extra 1 to 2 health because they expect that their primaries or other units are going to damage them. And that's just kind of tough for clones to deal with, where the clones are naturally kind of understatted, where in a lot of cases, the Empire units can just sort of say like, oh, I'm not going to choose to do the damage. And then you're at a stat disadvantage. And then I will use it when it gives me a positioning advantage to counteract what you're doing. So that is a tough situation. Also, there are just a lot of Republic units that really key off of the reserve mechanic, Nobi and Lumi most obviously. Sure. And so just having the extra packs on that is tough. And I do think that reserve tax that Gideon provides is a small part of what he's doing, but it's also one of those things that just interrupts your baseline heuristics for how you think you should play the game, and you have to reevaluate everything that you do when you're playing against that matchup. In the same way that like Kenobi changes your baseline heuristic for what is a hunker token.
For sure. Yeah, my advice on that is it's uncomfortable, but don't reserve against Gideon. You know, because every game I've seen aggressive reserve against Gideon has been resulted in a loss for someone, and especially a Republic player, right? And so it does flip that on its head. Like you said, Kenobi, Luminara absolutely want to be in reserve. Anakin, Mace, even Jedi Hunter Vader, they want to be in reserve to make the plays when they want to make the plays. And you've kind of got to be comfortable that you're not playing that game plan, right? So that's a whole nother hurdle.
You have to play more opportunistically.
For sure.
And just embrace that you're gonna have to embrace the chaos so that you have the money to spend on other stuff.
100%. So you just think of it as I'm rewarding myself later for that force push or whatever it is, right? I'm not shutting that door. I'm keeping that door open by playing more random.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, thank you so much for that. I wanted to close out with a really kind of beginner-focused perspective here.
I love it.
I'm taking inspiration from, there's a kind of a casual format in the Marvel Crisis Protocol community that they designed. They call the three-box challenge. And the idea there is they would run like a league, or you do like a store night where you'd say, okay, you're going to bring a list and you have access to a core set and then up to three expansion boxes. And you know, Marvel's a little bit different because they have like cards and things that you are also leveraging from those tools. And so it complicates your list building a little bit more. But it's designed as this idea of like, we want, like, this is a game that's been out for a couple of years. There's a million different units in the game. We want to make the game more accessible to newer players, have a league that's more friendly for that, and use it as a way to talk about, like, you know, how do we think about the value of using a more limited set of pieces. And I want to kind of steal this framework and use it primarily as a way to talk about entering into Player Republic for the first time. So assuming that you have a core set only, and you're saying, I want to start exploring Republic for the first time, what's the first box that you buy? Second box that you buy, third box that you buy. I will add this as a caveat. The number one rule for any of this stuff is if there's a character that you love, buy them, play them. Do not stress for sure about the competitive stuff. You will have more fun there. But speaking strictly from a, like, I'm trying to see what it's like for the Republic to fire on all cylinders, agnostic of any theme, where do you start with buying boxes? So let's start maybe by talking about the core set and the Republic units that are in the core set, which are Anakin, Rex, 501st, and Ahsoka, Jedi No More. What do you think about those as kind of baseline building blocks for, I want to play Republic, this is what I have?
I think Anakin and Ahsoka in particular are fantastic primaries to like start your Republic journey. And they're going to teach you tenets of the game, which are really important. I think one of the biggest tenets of the game is an active queen piece like Anakin, and you're in the driver's seat making decisions, and also a more reactive piece like Ahsoka, where she is a piece in your premier list to respond to other people's lists that they're kind of showing you, and or respond to their play patterns, right? So you're going to get night and day with that, which is good. And also you're going to get Rex, who is arguably the best piece in Republic, as we've been talking about this whole episode. So there's this combination of, you're going to get those things, and you're also going to get Clan Kree's Mandalorians, which are not Republic, but are a great building block piece to learn foundations of Shatterpoint, learning how to swing points, learning how to pivot on positioning and take 2 points in a turn to swing the score tracker, and learning how to shove from distance, right? Learning how to safely. Then you have the 501st, which probably the weakest clone set in the group, but they're going to teach you Republic basics. Coordinated Fire Strain is a great condition. I mean, we're seeing that in full force right now with the Dark Troopers kind of in the limelight of the Empire. And, you know, learning those basics is really going to set the tone for you. And obviously, you're going to need them if you want to play Anakin out the gate.
Absolutely. The other caveat that I'll add to that, Anakin is something that are going to teach you maybe kind of in the School of Hard Knocks, is budgeting your force.
Yeah.
Because Anakin brings 4 force and you look at his card and he's like, I would like to spend 3 of it, please.
Every time.
And Ahsoka brings 3 force and she also says, I would like to spend 3 of it, please. And you just can't afford to do all the things that you would like to do.
No.
And the more that I've played Anakin, especially, the more sort of like you have to be very careful about when you pull the trigger on those force abilities. Ahsoka also is a really great defensive primary as long as you have 2 force available. And if you don't have that 2 force available, she is just going to melt. And so it really helps you learn those budgeting lessons in a way that can be kind of tricky.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I think it is Republic 101. 101 is, like we talked about, learning how to manage this force and learning when to make the plays you need to make, right? And it's so hard to like nuance that out, but when you do it, man, is it powerful and exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the challenges with Republic is that there are a lot of different pieces out there, and there's a lot of variance in the quality of those units, which is part of why I want to have this discussion. Somebody who is new to the game or new to Republic, what's the first box that you recommend that people buy?
So we're in a unique position here, Matt, where we've kind of got all these out, which is phenomenal. So if you're new here, it's an amazing time to jump into Republic because you can be more frugal if you want. And that's kind of the approach I'm going to take. I'm going to give you the most options that I think are the most fun and the strongest. So I'm not going to say out the gate, box 1 you want to buy this moment in time, is the Jedi Master Plo box, because you're getting most bang for your buck. You're getting two secondaries and a phenomenal support with the wolf pack. And you're also, getting Padawan Ahsoka, who I don't think we've got enough limelight today. She is my personal favorite Republic secondary. And I think I've talked about it on Hello There at Nauseam, but she completely works in any Republic list that you want. And she really pairs well with a lot of the Jedi characters as well. And then you've got Wolfpack, which you talked about, which are just the highest stamina clone in the game thus far, which is very notable, very important. And they have pretty consistent shoves on their tree, as Matt mentioned earlier, and less about the damage, more about the shoves and the conditions. And then you got this unexplored space with Wolf. And I also think Wolf is a little underplayed right now, because at the end of the day, the guy dashes two models every time he goes, right? And those dashes can
end in elevation. Really solid secondary.
Yeah, I mean, these are climbs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Republic is really flush for good options with secondaries. I really like the Plo box here, because you get two great ones.
Yeah.
And it's like every unit in that box is really playable. I think that was 100% my answer to this question until about 2 weeks ago. I think the match are potentially a really competitive choice in that spot for a different reason. You don't get to play with lightsabers as much, which honestly is reason enough to just go for Plo. But I think that you get a lot of versatile pieces. You get four units that play really well together and that splash pretty well with the other things that are going on in the game.
I agree.
The other reason why I really like it is that I think that some of the clone supports can feel a little bit lackluster without added help, and you kind of have to assemble that help from a couple different pieces. And if you're going to be playing the 501st, it really helps to have that failure convert to a strike from Hunter on the table. That said, I think Wolf is similarly lifting part of what clone troopers can do. I think there's a lot of good options there. Either one of those is a really great first pick.
Well, and Ahsoka with Anakin, right? Like, there's so many layers to this of things that work. I think either one of those boxes is a stellar first pick. And I think, Matt, we've already answered our question. I think if the Plo boxes pick one, the Bad Batch is probably box number two right now. And, you know, we're also not only expanding your power level as a Republic player, but also just your options, right? Because both of these boxes, if we're giving you these as box one and box two, you're getting so many extra characters, because extra characters are sneaking in left and right. You know, Snips snuck in the first box, and Crosshair maybe snuck in the second box, and you've got stuff to try out.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that for sure. I think that it's hard to argue with those as the first two. I think depending on what you're interested in playing, I do think the Naboo box is also a really solid pick.
I agree.
As just a standalone squad, you can pair them with almost anything, and they're going to be good. They're going to do their thing. You want to run Anakin Padme, really fun thematic list that you can run. Sabe is great. Handmaidens are great. Padme is very solid, I think. And I think that in particular, part of what that allows you to do as well is I think that the box itself is really great. Handmaidens alone are really, really great. Sabe alone is pretty solid, even though you wouldn't guess that from reading your card. And then the Sabe Handmaiden package together under an 8-cost primary of your choice is also very solid.
I agree completely. No, I'm kind of sad we didn't get to touch on Padme as much as we wanted to today, because she is kind of a different path on Republic, right? Which is a very strong path, but it's very different from some of the tenets we talked about today, which is like a melee-centric defensive primary up in the mix while the secondaries are kind of leading the charge and scoring, and the supports are in the back being safe. And, you know, Padme kind of flips a lot on her head with her identity, and also just the fact that she's not a defensive lightsaber wielding primary, and that she's more about kind of swinging points and all these layers. But I think the Padme box is a great choice, Matt, because as you said, you can just buy it, and that box is one of the best self-contained boxes in the game, like working as a unit.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what's your box number three, Jesse?
This is where it gets really tough, to be honest, because two of my favorite primaries in the game are probably the two of them most thinking about. And I also think about, as a new player in Republic, what could to give them the most value. As much as I want to say General Kenobi, because he is a tenet of a lot of Republic play, I think it might actually be the Luminara box, because you're getting, once again, a great support in the Clone Commandos. You're getting a great primary in Luminara, who also not only is an amazing Republic, but one of the best just standalone primaries in the game to be put in any random list you want and make it work. And then the options we presented with Barriss today, where if you're building around Barriss or you have a spot for Barriss in your premier list to help fill a gap, she's a great spot. So I think my final recommendation is the Luminara box.
Yeah, I think that's really solid. I think I'm going to diverge a little bit here.
I love it.
And I'm going to provide two options, I think. And this is really tough. The first one I'm going to talk about is the Vader box. Vader over two.
Absolutely.
Because Vader is a great thematic character. He's really fantastic. He's going to do a ton of work. At this point in the journey, there is a limitation that if you play him, you've got to play him with the 501st. And that can lessen kind of how he feels on the table compared to some other options. But he is, you know, depending on the, if you're playing in a similar environment where everybody's playing with a limited collection, or you're not necessarily playing like really sweaty tournament stuff, you can just have a lot of fun with Vader. You can have a lot of fun with Obi-2. You can have those iconic characters out there. The other case that I would make for this, and I'm kind of surprised that I'm saying this, is the Mace box. I've played a lot of Mace. At one point, I was really high on Mace. In the last couple of months, I've really turned around. I shopped some people in our Slack the other day because I said that I think that he's maybe all factors considered the worst primary in the game. And I say that primarily just because the tax that he requires you to pay in order to bring
there's
him
layers to
is
it.
Not... Yeah, it's not up to the quality of stuff that he brings. However, setting all that aside for a minute, ARFs are fantastic. Getting access to ARFs is going to elevate Anakin, who you already have. It's going to elevate any Republic list that you want to play. And further, the Mace box as is in a more limited environment, in a less like hardcore kind of a setting, is a very reasonable squad.
Yes,
I think it struggles in that really competitive space because secondaries are so good. And you're not going to get some of the best secondaries. You don't have Diceless Displacement. There's just a lot of factors that make you not want to play him competitively. But, like, barring the, like, really top-tier couple of lists, like Mace Padme, really solid, fun list to play that can do, that can feel really good, and that is pretty forgiving for a new player. And I think that that's going to be the recommendation that I go with, strictly because ARFs help that much in terms of pulling together the Republic game plan, and you're going to have enough fun with Mace and Pawns, even though they're not the best possible units out there, that you can get some mileage out of them.
I like it. No, absolutely. It's crazy that we got through this list without General Kenobi, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love General Kenobi. Like I said, he's my favorite primary. Clone Commander Cody is arguably the worst secondary in the game. The 212 are just, even though I think you said that you're higher on them than I think I am, sure. But I think most people would agree that they are the least impressive one of the least impressive four cost supports in the game. And they just kind of really struggle. So as much as I love Kenobi, as much as he is a game-changing primary for Republic, and he adds so much, there's just not a lot of value in that box beyond him. If you're super excited about Kenobi, buy the box. Like, play all of them. I did, right?
Yeah.
When the game first came out, I played a lot of Anakin Kenobi, and
it's a fun list.
It was not the strongest thing in the world, but I had a ton of fun.
Yeah, and it's also like another reason I think we didn't recommend Kenobi is this is coming from the guy who is the Kenobi guy on the podcast here. He wants so many other pieces from other boxes, right? He wants the Clone Commandos, or he wants Tekko, or he wants Rex, or he wants Padawan Snips. Notice every character I mentioned is not in the Kenobi box. And guess what? Most of those characters are not in similar boxes either, right? So he wants pieces from various boxes to be at his most efficient rate. And also he'd be at his most fun, to be honest. Because, I mean, you think about like Rex with Kenobi, or Snips with this Kenobi, or Tekko, or Clone Commandos. They all have cool things they do with him. But unfortunately, they're all in different boxes. And as this is being a guide for new players, to save money or to buy the least amount of boxes, I don't think you can go wrong with something like Jedi Master Plo, who does similar things defensively for his squad, supports his squad as a whole as a Jedi Master like he is, and then gives you tons of pieces to play with.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the different boxes thing is such a huge call out. I said I love Kenobi, but most really competitive lists that are playing Kenobi are fielding units from 4 or 5 or even 6 different products.
100%.
And one of those products is often the Vader box, which is more per figure than the average. And so, yeah, it gets really unwieldy really fast, and it's just not super friendly to entering into the game. That said, he's really fun. He plays like nobody else plays in the game. 100%. And if you like that style where you're able to kind of push people off points and then go stand there and say, sure, you can attack me, but I'm going to dash back and you're not going to win me.
Yeah.
Like he creates some really fun puzzles for your opponent where you can really leverage that strength. And I love him, but I think that he's a difficult value proposition in the way they're currently packaged.
Very well said.
Perfect. Well, we've gone kind of long today. I think that's to be expected because I think both of us are kind of long-winded people. What any final thoughts on Republic?
So many thoughts, Matt. I feel like we gave the quick skimmed version today, but I think Republic is extremely rewarding if you are interested in the theme, if you're interested in the play style. If it's both for you, I mean, you're rolling in it, like just dig right in. I also feel like they're a very crunchy faction to really spend your time in, right? Where it's one of those things where, you know, not to discredit other primaries of the game, but it's like, say you've gotten 20, 30, 40 General Kenobi or Plo games in, right? That's a very different story from someone who's gotten, you know, 20 Vader games in, right? And this is someone who plays Vader Kenobi a lot. This is coming from me, right? And like we said earlier, just the feature of Republic 2, you bring in an aggressive primary like Vader, the list changes on its head. I think Vader Kenobi, which I've had a lot of fun and success with, I play very different than I would play Vader in other lists, right? Vader in this list is a very different Vader, and there's a lot of nuanced decision-making, and I think part of Republic is that nuanced decision-making winning you Shatterpoint over time. Like you said, you're playing the long game, and you're playing the, like, I'm setting up the checkmate further out, and I feel like that's very rewarding, but obviously a little bit harder to learn up front.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's my biggest caveat is if you are somebody who loves the challenge of like, I need to understand how this list works, and I want to take it these pieces and figure out how do I turn this into a machine that can, with a lot of levers that I can pull, that's going to be successful. It's a much less straightforward game plan. It requires a lot more game knowledge and a lot more reps than like what Separatists are running, which is not to say like lots of really great players run Separatists. It can be a really strong list.
Oh, amazing.
Their straightforwardness is their strength. And I think that Republic demands a lot from you as a player, but it's worth it for people that care about that. If you don't care about that, that's okay. If you're not super dedicated to it, also, that's okay. You can have a lot of fun just rolling dice. And, you know, there is a joy that comes with, like, I've been consistently remembering to trigger my coordinated fire, right, which I've been forgetting in every other game. Like, learning those things, you can see that progress, and it's really successful. If it's not for you, that's fine. If it is for you, you may get discouraged at times. I certainly have. I end frequently, but it has been a lot of fun, and I highly recommend it. Also, if you're a hardcore Republic player out there, or if you're a casual Republic player, you think you found some cool tech, if you think you figured some stuff out that we haven't discussed, I would love to hear from you. Hop in our Slack. There's going to be a link in the episode description. Feel free to tag me and say, hey, you're an idiot. Here's why I think all your opinions are bad and wrong. I'm used to it. Kenny is my friend. And I'd love to talk with you some more about what you've been doing and seeing with Republic and what's out there. Similarly, go check out Hello There. It's an excellent podcast. We're really lucky to be able to share this content creator space with you, Jesse and Thamon. You guys do some fantastic work. And thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Absolutely. We appreciate you guys. We love what you guys do here. Like you said, it's very spiritual and full circle for me to be creating content with you guys a decade ago almost, and then be back in the space full circle again. It's very exciting. It's very exciting to figure out these games together and kind of see where we're maybe similar and different. And let's enjoy Star Wars together as a community, right? This is an amazing time and an amazing game. And there's a lot of good to come. And I would also say, if you guys enjoyed this Republic episode and you're putting in this work to learn Republic, I think you're being good to your future self, because AMG told us specifically a year from now, We're going to have Jedi Master Kit Fisto, Jedi Master Ki Adi-Mundi, Jedi Padawans, and possibly more other Republic units we don't know about. So yeah, as you're kind of learning this big year one of Republic and kind of digesting it, as Matt said earlier, we're going to have time to kind of fully settle in with it. And then presumably this time next year, AMG is just going to drop new Republic stuff, new Jedi Masters, possibly new clones to us. And then it's a whole nother game to figure out.
Well, thank you again. Super appreciate your time. This has been a long time coming, and hopefully once we get those new Republic units in a year from now or whenever they show up, we can circle back and talk about what we got wrong and what we got right and all of that good stuff. Thank you
again. I'd love to be back on, Matt. Yeah, thank you again for having me, and appreciate you guys like inviting me on to bring my Republic experiences on the show. And hopefully this gave the listener some sort of insight on which way to go, or maybe dive in Republic a different way for them.